Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Batman number 189, cover date February 1967, cover price 12 cents, cover artists Carmine Infantino and Joe Giella, edited by Julia Schwartz, featuring Fright of the Scarecrow, written by Gardner Fox, art by Sheldon Moldoff and Joe Giella. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go.
See how the fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
See how the morning mist can hide us away.
Hide us away.
And now is so much fun.
What? While instructing youngsters in Gotham Park, Dick Grayson witnesses the Scarecrow retrieving buried loot from a past robbery. Dick calls Batman, and together they battle their old foe. But the Scarecrow escapes by dousing the Caped Crusaders with fear gas. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
Oh, hi.
Well, good afternoon.
How are you? How have you been?
I am recovering.
From?
From probably RSV and the flu.
Gross.
I didn't get tested for it, but all the symptoms seem to indicate that it was RSV. But I am on the mend.
Yes.
I sound better, and I've stopped coughing, and I can breathe through my nose.
So. Well, you look marvelous.
Well, thank you. Haven't we had a week?
I'll say.
So we skipped last week because we went to Ohio, right?
Yes. Well, we had a special dramatic presentation published.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh my God. I enjoyed that so much. I thought we did it right before we left. So yeah. That dropped while we were gone. And so we went to Ohio because I wanted to visit family, and your sister was singing in a concert, and so we wanted to go see that concert, which was absolutely lovely. She sings in a choir, and it was a beautiful, beautiful concert, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But while there, I started to get sick, and when we drove home on Sunday or Monday?
Monday.
And I slept a lot of the way home, and I continued to get sicker and sicker as the week went by. And I think I turned the corner yesterday, which would have been Saturday, and I'm feeling much better today. But I spent most of last week in bed.
Lucky.
Well, honestly, I was, and then I discovered how wonderful it is to take a shot of NyQuil and sleep for 2.5 hours during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something I should have started earlier on in the week, so it was good. It's good. So I'm feeling much, much better now. On the mend. We had a fun time. Let's see, where did we go? Because I wasn't quite sick. I was just getting sick when we were in Ohio. Where did we go on that Saturday, or was it Sunday? Where did we go?
What?
We went downtown and we went to some stores.
Oh, I went to Big Fun Toy Store in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes.
Bought some action figures out of the $5 bin.
I did my best to stay in there.
Well, it's... Listener, it's a, just about a 10 by 12 area. It's packed full of every vintage toy you can imagine.
Floor to ceiling.
Floor to ceiling. And...
case in the middle of the room.
It's hard enough for a portly fellow to make his way through there, but when it's crowded with families and children, it's even worse.
Oh, and so, I mean, you literally, to let someone go by you, you need to stand up and be almost pressed up against the shelves in front
of
you.
Yeah, and you know, with my fat ass, I'm knocking things on the floor here and there and everywhere.
Well, I got stuck in the back of the store, and I thought I was going to go, like, I was going to have some sort of double freak out, like that one on an airplane, which goes, I got to get out of here, and I couldn't get out. I was just like, I didn't have a panic attack or anything, but I really felt like that was probably in my future, you know, mm-hmm. I got to get out of here. I did stay as long as I could and looked at everything that I could in the store. I was looking for something in particular.
You were?
Oh, yes. Just a little pin or something to put on a jacket or something funny, you know, something ironic.
I see.
But I didn't find anything that interested me. So I left. We had a great dinner, though, didn't we? We went out to Vietnamese hot pot. We'd never done that before.
Never.
Whoa, that was fantastic. And then we went to a really good music store. I got some music there, a sheet music store. And I think that's about it, right? Like
I went to the international market and got some Japanese Kit Kats. And
bags and bags of disgusting chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how, like, in Europe, they have fantastic Pringles, like prawn cocktail and paprika?
Yeah.
That we don't get here.
Right.
Well, in Japan, they have the same. All kinds of fans. Only it's Lay's in Japan. Lay's potato chips.
And they are disgusting flavors. Like,
not
we
all of them.
The oyster and...
Oyster and garlic is not great.
Not good.
And I haven't opened the one yet that does not have an English translation, but it's got a picture of a squid on the front. So I imagine it's...
Are you
calamari.
Sure you didn't open one of those things yet in Ohio? Because there was one that tasted like armpit.
Yeah, that was the oyster and garlic.
Oh, that was disgusting.
And, No,
like it tasted like
downstairs.
A dirty armpit.
Well, so. That's what's for dinner is the remaining bag that's downstairs.
Oh, great.
So
I
hope you like it.
I did make some good chicken soup this week.
You sure
from
did.
From scratch. Yep. I mean, like, made the broth and everything from scratch. It was really good. And I guess that's about it, right?
I've got some exciting neighborhood news. Christmas is coming down across the street.
Oh, are they out there right now?
Yeah, he was earlier.
Well, I think he actually had to go to the hospital for his heart or something, so.
I don't know about that, because I said, well, what are you going to do now? You're too late for Valentine's Day. And he said, well, she likes to keep Christmas up because she thinks it brings more snow.
She
And I guess it worked.
Well, it did this year.
We haven't had a lot of snow.
Oh, haven't we ever. And thank God I got to use the snowblower after I had it serviced.
Thank
God.
Gods.
Speaking of thanking God, I got my motorcycle back from the Harley place. They
yes.
did. I had a. I don't know when the last time I had a comprehensive service done on it, and I bought this motorcycle from a family member, and it had been sitting in his yard covered for 2 years, and so it needed some serious attention to the body, but it also needed a serious servicing. Oh. Yeah. So I got a trailer yesterday and rented a trailer from U-Haul, went up and picked it up and brought it back. And good night. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. Now it's 35 years old.
Sure.
So it does have on the back seat where it was covered and moisture kept there. There's some spots of rust where the paint rusted up. So he didn't touch that because he was afraid he might buff off the paint if he did that. So, but it is just, oh my God. It's
beautiful.
Well,
I have an idea.
What?
Well, you know, we're going to get rid of these chairs that have needlepoint that my Aunt Lula did.
Yeah.
Well, you could just take the needlepoint from the chairs and put it over your motorcycle seat.
No.
Why not? It's comfortable. It's beautiful. It add a nice touch of flair to your motorcycle. It'd be unique.
No, and it's not on the actual seat that I sit on. The seat that I sit on is a custom seat with blue leather.
Oh, custom. What could be more custom than Aunt Lula's needlepoint?
But there's like a sissy, what they call a sissy seat behind it. And that's where you put your bags or your bitch, as they call them.
I hear a lot of DEI language there that was not allowed in the new.
Oh, my God. We can't talk politics.
No, we can't.
Because I will get so upset. Everything right now in the world is making me so, so, so angry. I just can't
even. Just let it go. Just focus on yourself. That's what I do.
All the goodness, all the kindness, all the love, all the work for equity, just fucking chucked out the door. Yeah. Just,
it makes me so upset. The room down.
Well, let's talk about something exciting, shall we?
How about Batman number 189?
Yeah, Batman.
Featuring the Fright of the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Holy cliffhanger. The caped crusader in the grip of the one villain he is compelled to fear, the Scarecrow. I don't like this cover. It's too dark.
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
The Scarecrow, secretly Jonathan Crane, has not been seen in comics at this point for 20-plus years.
Okay.
He made two appearances in the 1940s, and that was it until now.
Why doesn't he have eye holes in his mask?
Because
he does later on.
Maybe it's some kind of super scientific mask with like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which he can.
Because on the cover, he has eye holes in a mouth.
Yes.
But. And later on, the scarecrow that we know in, let's say, you know, 80s, he has eye holes or eye patches or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I just remembered. Was Scarecrow on Super Friends?
Yeah. How else would I know about him?
I guess that's a good point.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. I'm going to have to watch my complete Super Friends Blu-ray set tonight.
Not tonight? Gee, oh my God.
What?
That reminds me. Thanks, Amazon Prime. Thanks a lot.
Electra Woman and Dinah Girl streaming on Prime. But I was lambasted when I posted that on social media because people were like, you big dumb idiot that's been streaming on Tubi this whole time, every Croft show.
Oh, so I, of course, I'm have kidding. Been telling...
No one called me a big dumb idiot, but it apparently everything's on Tubi.
I've been telling you, since you discovered it, and you were giddy like a child, I said, well, you can watch that as much as you want. You don't have to wait for me. So we sit down for our evening television viewing, and what does Dr. Bob say? But, oh, goodness, oh, doggone it. I forgot to watch Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. Do you want to watch an episode? And I'll be like, sure, okay. It is the hokiest. I would watch Land of the Lost over that anytime. It is so bad.
Because Land of the Lost is awesome, is why.
It is so bad. It's the same formula. Electra Woman, Dinah Girl, the guy yelling at a computer that never talks back. He's drunk, and a villain, and it's always, and they laugh, the laughter, the cackling of the laughter of the villains. It is so disturbing. Not even disturbing in a like sinister, bothersome way. It's disturbing because it's so formulaic. It's so predictable. It is the worst. On some level, I do enjoy it.
You know that it was a show for children, right?
Speaking of children, oh my God, that Little Rascals episode you showed me?
Yes.
The other day?
Yes.
That was so much fun.
Well, there's plenty more where that came from.
Where was that from?
That's the listener of the Classic Flicks restorations of the Little Rascals shorts, and they've just put out volume one of The Silence.
And they were made during the Depression era, right?
Oh, no, The Silence, 1922, I believe.
Oh, pre-Depression era?
Yes,
well, girl. The kids look like they're in the Depression era.
Well, that's the charm. They're poor little kids from the Los Angeles suburbs.
Oh, my God, but they're
There's
funny.
One rich kid. You just haven't seen the rich kid yet.
They're silent, and so you get the little
placards. Yeah, placards. Sure, yeah. Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah. The funny silliness.
Well, it's by Hal Roach, who did Laurel and Hardy. In
of course, in that episode that we watched the other day, these dogs got into a real fight.
I was thinking about this that
pre-animal cruelty laws.
No, but I think that one of the dogs was a man in a costume.
Oh, really?
Because it was otherwise it was a dire wolf. It was huge.
It was kind of large.
Yeah,
it probably was.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, back to the comic.
So this, of course, you've probably put two and two together by now, Rob. This is the origin story of the Earth One Scarecrow, because the 1940s appearances clearly would have been Earth Two.
I'll take your word for it.
Out of the dim and misty days of the past, like some sinister shadow from a nightmare, steps the shaggy straw-like figure of the Scarecrow. Once again, the Prince of Panic clues in Batman and Robin to his fear-filled crimes. Once again, the dynamic duo is intimidated and terror-stricken by the
fright of the Scarecrow.
Bob Kane's got his signature right there, but of course he had nothing to do with this. It's written by Gardner Fox, art by Sheldon Moldolf.
Wow.
Now, the prologue is the origin of the Scarecrow, yes, adapted from The Riddle of the Human Scarecrow, published in World's Finest Comics number 3, fall issue, 1941. I did a little research, and this is pretty much a panel-for-panel recreation of that story.
Okay.
Just with art now by Sheldon Moldoff. The original art was by Bob Kane.
Okay.
Written by Bill Finger.
Okay.
So we get a brief recap. Jonathan Crane was a sickly little boy.
Yes.
A small boy who liked to frighten birds. That's a sign of psychopathy.
Yep, psychopathy.
When he grew up, he became a teacher of psychology in a university, and this is where we find him today, pulling a gun on his students.
Yeah.
To demonstrate that, yes, if I point a gun at you, you'll be afraid, but you'll be more afraid if I shoot this vase of roses.
Because
that's in the classroom.
The gun is loaded.
Yeah. Now, students, you can see what the gun can do. Who are these idiot college students that don't know what guns can do?
Who knows?
Yes, a gun can destroy. Before, you only guessed what it could do. But now you have confirmation that, yes, guns, when fired at precious vases, can cause harm. Simple psychology.
Yes. After class is over, Jonathan Crane passes by some other professors. I've jumped in because I love the exchange that they have here.
Because this is exactly how professors talk.
Exactly.
I'm an academe, so I know these things.
So one professor who has rather fetching hair.
Yes.
Yes, he says, "You're coming to the party I'm giving tonight, everybody. Be there, so don't forget. Everybody will be there, so don't forget."
Yes. Everybody but one, eh? Crane looks so shabby in those old clothes. Positively weird.
Crane earns the same salary we do. Why doesn't he buy some decent clothes?
Because he earns the same salary you do. Do you know what teachers make?
Yeah.
Long-haired idiot. Apparently, Jonathan Crane spends every cent he earns to buy new books. What's wrong with that? Bullies? Leave him alone.
Yeah.
He certainly is an odd fellow. He looks like a scarecrow in that getup of his.
Uh-oh. Later in his home, Professor Crane ponders.
This is a pretty nicely appointed home for someone that spends every cent on books.
So he just doesn't prioritize his clothes.
Got a giant globe.
Mm-hmm. Lots of space.
Lots of space. An open floor plan.
Open. Lots of books.
An ornate side table there. Lots of
books.
A
large window there. Looks like a bay window, actually.
Comfortable chair. Is that an Eames chair?
Hmm.
Well, he hates everyone. Bah. They judge human values by money, by the show which money makes. If I had money, they'd respect me, all right. And I could still buy all the books I want. Yes, if I only had money, lots of money.
So this is interesting. He seems to be obsessed with a desire to be liked, but also wants to have books, so money is the answer.
Right. Next day in class, I believe this is the standard third unit of college psychology, protection rackets, as worked by gangsters. Everyone knows how a protection racket works, right?
Yes. You provoke fear by people, and they pay you to protect them, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. Things like that don't happen in the world anymore.
No.
Certainly not on the geopolitical stage. The gangster makes people afraid, so terribly afraid they pay him what he asks. Lots of money.
All because people are afraid of him.
In his home that night, the distorted brain of Professor Crane begins thinking along fantastic lines, criminal lines, when suddenly a scarecrow bursts through his drawing room window.
Really?
I'm kidding. That's okay. An inside joke for a listener because that's Batman's origin. He was pondering how to start his war against crime and a bat flew through the window.
Oh, okay. I thought he fell into a well.
That's in the movies.
Oh, listener, don't even bother the keystrokes of sending hate mail.
He doesn't know. I haven't made him read every origin story yet. Yet. So these bullies at school have been calling him a scarecrow. And why not? If I look like a scarecrow, then that will be my symbol. A symbol of poverty and fear combined. The perfect symbol to represent Jonathan Crane, the scarecrow.
And so is born an evil figure of the night. Across Batman's horizon stalks this new and frightening form, a scary shape of straw and shaggy burlap with a brain both cunning and distorted. Excuse me. Who is this figure whose very ludicrous appearance inspires fear, symbolizes fear, fear incarnate, fear of walking the streets of Gotham City? It is that most terrible, most bizarre of all criminals, the criminal all will fear, will learn to fear, and call the Scarecrow.
The Scarecrow.
I will not be just another. My head awful. The fatten, yeah.
Now we go to the summer months where Dick Robin Grayson is a playground instructor in Gotham Park. Now, I want to call your attention to something.
Yes.
Because these children are on a very complicated 1960s playground set.
Like an M.C. Escher design?
Yes, which is absolutely built to break multiple bones in their bodies. If they swing on it or do anything other than just climb up and down it. You can see that, right? You can see there's so many cross beams and everything. Well, in the last panel of this story, a kid has had a growth moment, and he is doing a handspring on the very top of this jungle gym set, meaning that once he swings down, he will most likely break about 5 bones of his body.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I just want to make this clear. So it's not like he's not on parallel bars. He's not on the balance beam.
Sure.
He's in this contraption, which is designed, they should call it the bone crusher. Right? I mean, look at it. It's an M.C. Escher drawing.
Well, literally, look at Dick sitting up on the top. Like, there's no way that the physics, his leg's in another dimension.
It is. It's crazy. It's meant to confuse. And I'm sure those kids just get up on that set, right? That, what is it called? They're calling it a jungle gym set? Not a jungle gym. They're calling it, what is it? Playground set. I don't know. They get up there and they probably get so turned around, they can't figure out how to get out. And that's how they get their workout, because they're terrified and panicked because they can't figure out how to weave their way back out of it.
What's the difference between a jungle gym and monkey bars?
Well, monkey bars are just, take a rectangle, cut off the bottom, plant it in the ground, and put crossbars attaching the two rectangles. So monkeys would just swing hand over hand, just go one direction, hand over hand. And that builds your arm strength and chest strength.
I hated the jungle gym.
Why?
Because I couldn't do it. I just get up and climb on top and sit on the top like King Gorilla.
My parents, my mother and stepfather, when I was growing up, they bought us a nice swing set outside. Mm-hmm. And my parents during the summers they'd say, "You're fat, go outside and play on the swing set." I remember one time I would complain to my mother I had the worst gas. It was so, so painful. It wasn't like internal stomach gas, like I was cramping, I hurt so much. And she said, "I don't want to hear about it. Go outside and hang upside down on the swing set."
Uh-huh.
And I did. She said, "The gas will rise and it'll come out of your back, your butt."
And
your
did butt. It?
No, I sat, I hung upside down on that damn swing set, cramping, crying. I was in so much pain. And my mother's like, "Go outside. Just go hang upside down."
Well, what's the end of the story? I've got to know.
I mean, eventually, I suppose it passed. I don't know. I mean, I had all sorts of issues growing up with my stomach.
Well, you know about me. My mother had to write a note to Mr. Weddle in fifth grade because I had such a terrible stomach problems every single morning. So I was always running late, so I had a special dispensation.
All through 5th and 6th grade, I had to take medicine for an ulcer.
Well, mine was probably anxiety because Cinda Weber, we had to sit in little four, our desks were in little four squares, so we all faced each other. Cinda Weber would kick my shin nonstop from morning till the bell rang.
Oh, that's the worst. You should have had some shin guards.
I should have, but we didn't have things like that in those days.
No. No, but a thoughtful parent would have said, what's wrong? And you would have said, Cinda, what's her name, Will?
Cinda Weber. She lived right across the street. And after I saved her pregnant cat, because Mr. Eckenrode down the street hated cats, and he had locked the cat, the pregnant cat, in his garage, and then he died. So I had to go down to Mrs. Eckenrode, the widow Eckenrode, and tell her to open her garage, because there was a cat trapped inside, and it sure was, and out it came.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
It's like Little House on the Prairie for you.
It's like Little Rascals.
Yeah.
Honestly. You could have made a whole movie about that.
Oh.
Well, Dick's playground instructor.
Well, Dick Tracy.
Is there no adult supervision here?
He's the adult.
No, he isn't. He's in high school.
Well, in this summer program, he is the adult.
That doesn't seem legal.
I'm sure there's one adult overseeing the entire program.
Over the corner, smoking.
He's probably been trained in first aid.
Well, of course, he's Robin.
And you know he's gotten lots of practice dressing wounds.
Yeah,
this horrific thing.
I'm just talking about the legality. But I know that nothing's going
to
happen.
Wait a second. Did you ever go to summer camps, like school summer camps with summer rec programs?
In the summer? No.
Yeah. God, your parents were so good. My parents forced us to go. And it was all run by teens. There'd be one teacher or two, and it was all like high school kids who were the you know, teens that were supervising. And you'd play board games and run around and kickball and all sorts of things in the hot Florida sun.
Well, we had the Grandview Pool. Everyone just went there.
Oh, yeah.
I did go to camp, but it was... Oh, I did go to summer camp one year.
Oh, geez, we used to go to Christian camp. It was the worst.
Oh, yes. Mine was Christian,
too. I can't tell you how many times I've been saved.
Well, we weren't those kind of Christians. We were Lutherans, so we just had cookouts and things.
Yeah. My childhood would have been so much better if I'd gone to an Episcopal camp or Episcopal church.
Well, you should have gone to Camp Moana with the Lutherans.
Oh.
They took us out on a hike, and they took us down to the riverbank, and there was faces carved in the stone of the, you know, like the shale at the bottom of the creek. And it's because apparently the Indians slaughtered a settler family there, and then they felt bad about it, so they carved their faces into the shale of the creek.
Really?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, they tell us stories.
Counselors probably did it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, those are all high school counselors. Yeah.
Isn't that where you pretend to be allergic to plastic?
Yes. Well, everyone had an allergy to something, and I wanted some attention, too.
Yeah.
So I pretended I was allergic to plastic, only I didn't understand how allergies worked, and so I would just, you know... People would stick a plastic comb in my face, and I'd go, achoo! Because that's how allergies to plastic work.
God.
What?
Well, I remember this one time I was in camp, and this big bully was there. Big bully. And he took insect repellent and sprayed my towel with it. So when I got out of the shower and dried myself off, my skin was like red and inflamed because it hurt so bad because he had put insect repellent all over my towel.
He's an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, he's from our church too. He's an asshole.
Well, then I went to camp with we had to go in 5th and 6th grade with the school group. We had to go, which was a horror show. And that was the high school students were the counselors there.
I hated camp.
I hate everything. Now, Dick's helping a young man pole vault or whatever he's doing, and happens to notice a submarine floating down the river. A midget submarine. Oh, wait,
but before we leave. So he's helping this kid, and he says he's afraid. He says, if you overcome your fear, we overcome our fear by fighting it and doing the very thing we fear to do. Now give it a try. And the kid tries to overcome his fear, and he's doing this. That's important because this will come back later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's move on to the submarine, the mini submarine.
also
Dick finds his way out off of the swing set, which itself is a miracle.
Speaking of psychology, I've learned something. Once you overcome a fear by confronting it, it will never bother you again.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I've overcome a lot of fears, and they're still
same
there.
Same girl, yeah. Same. Midget submarine coming up through Gotham Park. Dick better investigate. Luckily, he's got his lunch and his Robin costume tucked away in his picnic basket. So he's prepared if anything develops. Holy shockaroo. Who's leaping out of the submarine but the Scarecrow? On the loose again after 23 years.
Wow.
What kind of crooked business can he pull off here in the park? Just then, Bruce Wayne and Alfred tootle up in their ice cream truck.
Ice cream trucks. They're giving treats for the kids.
Alfred and I came over to surprise these young men with some ice cream treats. Surely they could have DoorDashed that. It did. Millionaire philanthropist didn't have to drive it over himself, did he?
Well, I mean, that's a very kind thing to do.
Maybe I suppose. Yeah. Wait till you hear what Robin just found out.
So, this is what I love. Moments later, after donning their Batman and Robin lightweight summer costumes. Mm-hmm. Because the winter ones are made with wool or something.
God only knows. I wish they really were like just a tank top and short shorts. Well, they do have the short shorts covered, but.
No, I mean, well, Batman's in his full gray gear.
Yes, but it's lightweight, Rob.
Oh, lightweight, yeah.
Like seersucker.
Linen. Linen tights.
Alfred's going to stay behind and
mind the store,
so to speak. Ahead of them, they find Scarecrow making his henchmen dig up where some money's been hidden.
Mm-hmm. He's recovering the loot from his past robberies.
Yes. Batman gets the first punch in. Bullets start flying. But bullets are no match for Robin doing a flip over Batman's back.
I don't see why the Scarecrow doesn't really get hurt. I mean, this guy's, Batman's given him such a socceroo that he knocks him over onto his back.
Yeah.
You ever been punched?
No, I've been shoved over at summer camp, actually.
I got punched in the face one time in junior high.
No, that's what happened.
And I've had a click in my right side of my jaw ever since. And I'll never forget that. I couldn't chew for several days.
Mm-hmm. That's why you had gas.
I punched the guy. We were fighting about, I don't even know what we were fighting about.
A girl, probably.
No, we weren't. And he was a big, big, big guy. And I remember punching him. I don't know why I punched him in his belly. And it just like seemed to just be enfolded. Like if you punched dough, you know. It didn't seem to have any effect on them. And then he gave me a fast, fast jab like he'd been trained to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was dazed and I saw stars. And that fight ended really quickly because I was like, whoa. Yeah. I was a smart ass. I deserved it. I really did. I deserved it. I probably picked that fight.
No one deserves to be punched except Nazis.
Well, yeah.
By the way, there's a new series.
Yeah.
Out. Batman and Robin Year One.
Okay.
It's really good. I think you'd like it.
Okay.
Anyway, in that series, Robin's cape is bulletproof, so all he has to do is pull it around himself.
Oh, wow.
Thus mitigating the danger of a preteen
patrolling
the streets of Gotham City at night.
Okay.
But
he doesn't have a very long cape like Batman.
Well, in this series, it's a little longer than this.
Yeah, because that would his cape doesn't even hang to his butt.
No.
Well, maybe just down to the small of his back, but Batman's is a
proper cape.
Proper cape.
Yeah. Robin gets his licks into these gunmen, and they make tidy work of the henchmen. Meanwhile, dazed by the savage blow that leveled him, the Scarecrow draws out an electric device and antenna pops out of the submarine.
Yeah. High frequency rays.
Hi.
Bathe Batman and Robin.
Yes.
And they are terrified.
Terrified. They believe that they are falling into a hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So they grab onto a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Scarecrow has triggered a fear of falling, an innate fear of mankind, engulfing them both as I leave behind my calling cards these pieces of hay.
Right? He just tosses the hay in the air.
Like, isn't his costume is stuffed with straw?
Yeah.
Isn't it just going to be falling out all the time? Like Ray Bolger in The Wizard of Oz?
Well, probably not. It's probably tailored. It's probably not real straw. It's probably just fabric.
And I could see if he's going to call this his calling card, like if he would arrange it in pictograms or arcane symbols or something, but he's just tossing the straw.
Who's that, the crime fighter who has a mask that changes with
Rorschach?
Rorschach.
Yeah.
Is he an evil guy or a crime
fighter? Well, he quote-unquote fights crime, but he will murder people and...
Okay.
Punch holes in their chest and whatnot.
He's scary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
He's nothing like the Scarecrow.
No.
Who is also scary.
Yes.
But Rorschach does not leave bits of garbage laying around as his calling card.
Garbage. Speaking of garbage. What? The listener's probably going to roll his eyes. Now that all the snow's melted away, have you noticed how much trash is on the sides of our country roads?
No.
Oh,
maybe I'm just used to it.
It's awful.
Is it like a lot of pop bottles and lotto tickets, beer cans?
Just stuff discarded, you know. I'm sure some of it must come from the trash trucks when they drive around.
Well, I don't know, but I do remember when we used to live by the C&O Canal and I'd ride my bicycle down. There was always someone lived down there and made a point to throw all of their scratch-offs that they'd scratched off on the side of the road. Like hundreds of scratch-offs.
Amazing.
Every day.
Yeah.
And slowly.
You know what it probably was?
What?
Probably someone with a gambling addiction who would throw them, who would buy them and then throw them out before getting home so that their spouse wouldn't see.
Good call.
How it was wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a confession. I have no interest in gambling.
Well, we didn't live down the hill anyway. So the minutes pass, and gradually the muscle-bulging arms of the Caped Crusader and Boy Wonder relax their clutch. They deduce that they've been drugged by hallucinogenics, which we learn on the editor's note is a family of chemicals with unusual hallucinatory and emotional effects on the human brain and body.
Yes, we didn't know that.
No. Racing toward the riverbank, they find the midget submarine gone, but not forgotten, and Scarecrow has left a clue.
With his...
That's what I'm talking about. Use this. No, he wrote in the dirt, but I think he could use his straw.
That's what I thought he used, his straw, but no, he wrote in the dirt?
Yeah.
Huh.
Three words.
Park,
Ark,
and Mark.
Obviously, Park was the clue to what just happened.
Yes.
To regain the loot of his many past robberies, Ark and Mark are the remaining clues. If only they were as obvious.
Well, thank God the children get their ice cream.
Yes, and those cheery faces sure make a fellow feel good. Robin thinks, but I'd feel better if the Scarecrow were behind bars. Do-do-do-do-do-do, part two. Bruce and Dick head back to the Batcave in their other identities as Batman and Robin, even though they're in the Batcave, which is where they live. They don't need to be in full summer lightweight costume now.
Right.
I'd think a summer costume would be leave them chilly in a dank cave. Like the Batcave.
Well, Bruce Wayne is so frightfully rich, I'm sure he can afford climate control in his Batcave.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, it's got humidifiers down there and whatnot. Ark must mean a boat of some kind. But we aren't getting any meaningful answers from the Bat computer.
No, they're having to read cards.
If only they had ChatGPT. That would give them the answer right away.
Isn't this interesting, using the cards?
Yes.
I remember computer cards.
So do I. Now, Robin has a probable hit. The Floating Palace, a gambling ship anchored out beyond the 3-mile limit. So Batman and Robin head that way. But wait a minute. Alfred's bringing new information cards for the Bat computer.
Apparently, Aunt Harriet's been keeping him busy moving furniture around.
Well, what is she? It's not her house. Why does she get to say where the furniture goes?
I'm very concerned about the flow of energy in this room. Could you move that chair over there and put that credenza over there? That sort of opens it up and gives one a sense of flow.
Is it the proper feng shui? Eagerly, Robin takes a moment to feed the new cards into the computer. And look at that. A replica of the original Noah's Ark, which was made for the silent movie of that name. Speaking of silent movies, and has recently been purchased by Raymond Archer, a merchant whose testimony helped send the Scarecrow to jail last time you captured him.
Great work,
Alfred. Eureka.
Yes.
Undoubtedly, the Scarecrow wants to get revenge on Archer by assaulting him on his ark.
His ark. Archer uses the ark to make a living these days, charging admission to see it as a sightseeing attraction. So the ark is parked 3 miles off the coast. It's a sightseeing.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's 3 miles off because it's not a gambling cruise, but it is offshore, which doesn't make sense if you're going to use it as a tourist attraction. You could get a lot more volume in there if it was on land. You could move people in and out. Now you've got to ferry them out to the ark. It's got to be seaworthy at all times.
What a nightmare.
Just looking at Kentucky's got that ark encounter.
What's the ark encounter?
It's a replica of Noah's Ark.
That sounds horrible. Were there animals in it?
Probably. I'm never going.
No.
But it's... Actually, I think it went bankrupt, but it was a big... speaking of Christians and tourist attractions and silent movies. Remember
that giant Ark replica that we see that's been under construction forever on Highway 70?
Yeah, but they've stopped advertising it as Noah's Ark.
Did they?
They still call it the Ark of Safety Church, but it's on 68 in Western Maryland.
Okay.
It's a steel scaffolding, which has been there for about 30 years. And yeah. It used to say, Noah's Ark, coming soon. But now it doesn't. It's just sitting there on the side of the road, rusting away. They go out to the Ark. They use their bat ropes to get up on board and move down a companionway and along a corridor to a door that slowly opens to the touch of fingers. And now at last, a voice breaks the silence. The Scarecrow. I wonder what he talks like. It's probably muffled because he's got burlap over his face.
Yeah, but burlap is very breathable. No. Burlap is... Okay, whatever. Yes.
Forward leap those highly trained bodies. I think Gardner Fox was on some... drugs this issue.
Yeah.
With every muscle trained for combat, with every sense alert for danger, they are living weapons. And then, with the swiftness of an eye blink, with the rapidity of a heartbeat, the room is plunged into ebon darkness. What happened?
I can't see my hand in front of my face.
The Scarecrow's trap has closed. The primal fear of darkness known by every man ever born is upon you. So somehow he's struck them blind. The lights are on for everyone else.
Black light vibrations have affected certain sensory portions of your brain.
Believe me, the room is filled with light. Even if you can't see it, you were like men struck blind. And now the abysmal terror of utter darkness inherited from our first ancestors when darkness made them easy prey of carnivorous beasts is eating at your very souls. Now I bid you a fearful farewell. Far worse is to follow.
What could be worse? Now, well, he leaves the room. Locks them in.
And they are blind, shaken to their innermost core by the creeping nightmare in which they find themselves utterly alone in quote-unquote darkness.
They're groping around trying to find their way through.
Banging into the walls.
Yeah.
Now I could see Robin being shaken by this, but I think Batman would have some kind of contingency for operating in complete darkness.
What I don't understand is if you happen to go forward about 6 pages, Robin goes to the same door and opens it and it's not locked.
Yeah.
He's at that door. He, Batman and Robin are at that door when Scarecrow leaves.
Right.
Batman has his hand on the door handle.
Uh-huh.
So what happened?
Well, they're terrified with fear. They're petrified with terror.
Okay.
So Batman advises that they stay put until the blacklight vibrations wear off. We've got to hang on.
I can feel the door even if I can't see it.
But as the door swings open...
Another door.
No, I think it's the same door.
Is it the same door?
Yeah, because there's stairs. Look, when Scarecrow leaves, there's stairs. Oh, and now there's stairs with a Black Panther and a leopard.
Yes.
Which actually aren't those the same species? Leopards and panthers? Oh,
let's see. No. Well, I mean, they're both different kinds of cats. Like a jaguar is a black jaguar.
We don't know, yeah, do we?
We don't know.
When I was in elementary school, the Columbus Zoo got a new Black Panther named Magic. And he was our school mascot.
Oh, okay.
Something. I had some kind of arrangement that we adopted him or something.
Nice.
And we'd eat, all the kids would take turns taking it home for the weekend to care for. I'm kidding. Wouldn't that have been awesome now?
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Now, brace yourself, Robin. We're about to be attacked by wild animals. And if I know the Scarecrow, there'll be animals who can see in the same darkness that blinds our eyes. Well, that checks. Cats can see in the dark, that's for sure.
They can.
But what Batman doesn't realize is that it's not dark. It's only dark for him. Now, they are able to evade these cats. Robin grabs the cheetah.
Cheetah by the tail.
By the tail. And starts swinging it around. Now, cheetahs aren't lightweight animals, are they?
They're quite large. They're pretty heavy.
And if you're swinging one by the tail, that's going to hurt the animal.
Well, these animals are trying to kill them.
Still, a superhero should not bring harm to any living creature except Nazis.
I understand, but they literally can't see, and they're going to be killed. These cats have the ability to shred their flesh and kill them right there.
Also, if you're swinging a large cat around by the tail, won't the tail just come off, like rip off?
No, it'll break the bones in the tail, which would really hurt the animal. And then, well, I mean, what does Batman do here? He doesn't, like, do judo flips or anything. He literally punches the cat. Punches him.
Well, right? First he does some dodging.
He dodges, yes.
Dodgeball.
Yeah.
Batman lets out a yelp, and Robin throws the cheetah against the wall. And then Batman punches the Black Panther right in the solar plexus.
Ooh. Then they find some straw.
Yes.
Right, Scarecrow's calling cards, and set them on fire.
Which is a good idea. Robin was going to try a tear gas bomb, even though he's not sure these animals have tear ducts.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid. They're mammals. They would have tear ducts.
So luckily, the Scarecrow has left his calling card all over the arc. And so it's a great idea. Let's set this straw on fire.
On fire inside a wooden arc.
And
leave the animals in a room. With the fire.
Sure.
Yeah.
Luckily, they have their laser beam from their utility belts to set the straw afire. And Batman starts pulling wood, pitch-smeared wood, off the side of the ark to light more fire. Well, it does the trick. The cats are scared. They're keeping a safe distance. And Robin again goes searching for the doorknob of the door.
Which, and he finds it.
They...
Lots of panels of these cats and Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Like, let me see how many pages. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pages. 6 pages, yeah.
Robin finally finds the door.
Sound like me.
I know, what's wrong with me? Orders Batman to follow his voice. And I guess they just leave that burning straw in the wooden room with the cats?
Yeah, they take the pitch-soaked wood and the straw and throw it in the wooden floor of the wooden arc.
Which is also soaked with pitch?
Yeah.
Okay. Terrific. Now, Their eyesight slowly starts to come back. They can see the stars and the harbor lights. And in the bat boat,
they just take off and leave the ark there.
They are trying to figure out what the third clue means. Mark.
Yep.
Could mean that Batman and Robin are easy marks.
That
the way we've been toppling over like duck pins every time he pushes hard.
Sure.
That's it, Robin. Eureka. Chum, you've cracked the clue. Get it? A mark is a victim of a sharp practice or a cunning scheme.
Right.
And you hit on the answer when you called us Fall Guys. Fall Guys are easy marks.
It's true.
Oh, of course.
The Scarecrow is referring to Fall, Jeremy T. Fall. He's the rich friend of yours, Bruce Wayne's.
Fall, the millionaire philanthropist who likes to keep large sums of cash in his house so he can personally give them to charity, such as the United Fund Drive that starts tomorrow. The Scarecrow's last trick is to grab that money for himself.
Let's go.
Shortly, inside the Riverside mansion of Jeremy T. Fall, look how many books he has.
Wow.
Scarecrow, we'll just steal the books.
Yeah.
Scarecrow's got a corncob pipe and he's puffing the smoke into Jeremy T. Fall's face, which is making him
hallucinatory.
Sure.
Smoke. Yeah.
Suddenly, the burglar alarm goes off, even though Scarecrow has shut it off himself. The police will be there soon, Scarecrow. And suddenly, to the stunned surprise of the Prince of Panic, Batman and Robin are in the room.
They charge in and fists start flying.
They're alive and they can see. Have some fear. Robin's here. Batman is flipping tables like Jesus in the temple.
Oh, that's a good night. Yeah, good one. Good one there. I'm just scanning through. There's all sorts of... there's a police siren.
Yes.
And they're surprised that the burglar alarm was tripped, and then the police siren happened so quickly, because how could the police have gotten there so quickly? Of course, I saw that, and I was like, well, that's not really the police. They're not really there. Or maybe Batman and Robin tipped them off earlier. That's what I was thinking when I read this.
With the speed of an angry cobra, Batman strikes. Thwack!
That reminds me of that SNL skit, Bathroom Cobra. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, silly. It's just, yeah. Never mind. So, never thought I'd ever see a flying scarecrow, Batman says, and KOs the scarecrow.
Yes.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the Boy Wonder has been in his own slam bang action.
Right.
A grateful Jeremy Fall babbles his praise when the smoke of battle clears. I just can't. I just need another burglar alarm went off by itself to draw you in here and save my money. Now we learn Batman tripped the alarm, just as he also caused the police siren from the Batmobile to be activated by a timing device.
Here come the police now.
Now the police show up. Thanks, Commissioner.
Yeah, he says, well, tell them where to find the loot of Scarecrow's previous robberies, which he recovered, so they can get to that too and return it to its proper owners. And then the story ends with back on the playground.
A week later, at the playground championships.
And so you see this kid is doing what appears to be a handstand, and he's going to be doing some sort of a dismount or round mount. Yeah. Look at all the bars around him. If that kid comes swinging down, he's going to fold himself around the beam below him and break his hips.
He'll never have children, I could tell you that.
Yeah.
And what do you get for being the champion of the playground? Is it like Charles Atlas, hero of the beach? Do you get a halo over your head that says champion of the playground? Like Flex Mandallo. Pick me last for dodgeball, eh? I'm the champion of the playground. I think I'll draw that. I've decided to do some drawings.
Oh wait, so we have to say what they say to each other. Dick Grayson says, Andy's the winner of the Jungle Gym contest. It proves again what a guy can do once he overcomes his fear.
I'll bet an ice cream cone the Scarecrow is thinking the same thing. dick.
Stupid. Okay, what are we drawing?
Well, I was thinking about some of our favorite characters that we've discovered through the years on this podcast, like Gorilla Witch.
Yeah.
B-Boy.
I love B-Boy.
Pterodactyl, shirtless pterodactyl man.
And?
Well, I just thought I'd, you know, do some character sketches, maybe try to sell them on eBay or something.
You were once an art major.
I was
you are a very good drawer.
Well, I'm a very good drawer of superheroes. Yeah. As long as I can trace it from someone else.
No, I used to watch you draw.
Sure.
Yeah.
Costume designer.
Mm-hmm.
I had my whole line of superheroes.
Did you ever draw the Purple Pier?
I never did.
Oh.
Because that's, you know, I don't like to do self-portraiture. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Keep in touch on social media, see if I put any drawings out.
Okay.
Really excited about B-Boy, though.
We never mentioned the attack of the 8,000 birds this week.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, migratory. I think they're, I saw them. I think they were grackles? Yeah. Just migratory birds. It's like we had 8,000 or more blackbirds.
It was like the set of the birds. I wanted to sing clickety clackety now.
And they crap everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And our cat was nowhere to be seen, laying in here in a beanbag chair.
Yeah.
Useless.
Yeah. Useless. Inutile.
Where would they have been coming from and going to, I wonder?
Who knows? Who knows?
Because if they're going north, it's still cold.
That's about the time. Have you noticed that? So when I walk the dogs in the morning, I always look at the buds in the trees. Mm-hmm. They're about to burst.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised. This dogwood or whatever it is out here blooms up to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's got some kind of mind disease.
What'd you say? Mind disease?
Mind disease. Doesn't know where it is or what it's doing.
Right.
Well, we probably should have done another story.
That's okay.
Is it?
It is.
Well, we better do a time machine mailbag.
I'm still recovering from my illness.
Oh, do you have the strength to do time machine mailbag? Oh,
I love time machine mailbag.
Time machine mailbag, where we read letters from the past and answer them today. Time machine mailbag, better late than never is what mother used to say.
Dear Dr. Husband, I am 18 and can never seem to go out. Not one girlfriend or boy ever calls me for a date. That phone of mine never rings. I haven't a single enemy that I can think of, but whenever I call to ask them if they want to go out, they always say they're busy and can't go with me. I have a pleasant personality, and I'm anxious to make friends, but somehow nobody ever calls me. I work 8.5 hours a day, and on weekends I would enjoy going out, but I always wind up spending the weekend at home, alone, and I'm not happy going out by myself. Now I feel stupid. Everyone stares at me, and I get the feeling that the whole world is against me. Oh, please help me solve my problem. Dr. Husband, signed, Desperate.
Oh, poor Desperate. Well, Desperate, I would feel the same way, too, if I was in your position, I suppose. But you say you're a nice person and you want to make friends. So why isn't it working? Let me see. Well, it may be that everyone is against you. It may be that your perceptions, though you are not willing to really fully embrace them, might be accurate. Have you taken a look in the mirror? You might be very ugly. You might have resting bitch face. You know, that might be a problem. Yes. So I would suggest that you do everything in your possible power to change your personality to make you more likable for everyone else. Don't be yourself. And everything should work out just fine. Right?
Yeah, perfect.
Good advice. No, honestly, I'm sure it's fine. Just find your tribe. You'll find your tribe, right? How hard could it be to make friends? Don't worry about people paying attention to you and such. Just be there for people, right? Just be there.
Yeah.
Be there.
Right.
And listen to them and talk to them and take an interest in them. And I'm sure they will also take an interest in you. It's just an awkward time in life. You'll be fine. 8.5 hours a day. How old is she? 18?
18.
She must be out of school.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, Don't worry about it. You're not a freak. You'll be fine. Shall I go?
Yes.
Dear Dr. Bob, I am 11 years old now and deeply in love with a 13-year-old boy. Wow. Okay. My parents think I'm too young to know the meaning of true love. But what else can it be that I feel? I'm mature for my age. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time reading this. And like to hang out with older people. So naturally, when I fall in love, it's bound to be with an older boy, isn't it? Please help me. Should I take my parents' advice? Don't tell me to stop seeing Dick. I don't think I could stand not seeing him again. Signed, Confused.
Confused, you're in luck. Report your parents to the authorities immediately. And it's lucky that you have a boy that you like, because you're going to be forced to marry someone. It's the law's changing and it's coming. 11, perfect. You have 7 years to lament that you'll never have the right to vote anymore after they take that away from women. But since your boyfriend likes you, then he can vote for you.
If you're lucky.
In the manner that he chooses.
In the manner that he chooses, he will vote for you.
I'm kidding. None of that bad stuff's going to happen.
No.
Listener, probably. I'm sure it's all going to be fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. It's February 23rd, 2025, in case you want a timestamp, in case we disappear.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah.
Time Machine Mailbag, where we read letters from the past and answer them today. Time Machine Mailbag, better late than never is what Mother used to say.
Right. Is that it?
That's it.
Well, that was fun.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us wherever you get your free downloaded podcasts from. You can find us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra. And you can find us right back here next week with The Flash, fastest man in the universe.
In the meantime, stay well.
Yes.
Right. Avoid hordes of birds.
Don't share a cup with Dr. Husband.
Don't share a cup with me. Find some way to appreciate this changing of seasons, because it is coming. We're hopefully through the worst of the cold now. And we look forward to being here with you next week, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Bye. Bye.
Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
Keep us sailing along.
High in the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have fun. So everyone, come on.
Guide us.
When you're beside me, we can